Morning.
Everybody get their pictorial directories. We're getting there. Bob warned me that I'd be competing with binding materials, binders, binding. That's right. Yeah, we could do that. We could bind us together. For those of you who weren't at the morning service, the pictorial directories are ready early before Christmas. If I understand correctly, we're giving one free to each family, and then after everybody has got one, if there are additionals or if you want an extra one, they'll be available for purchase. They haven't set a price yet. My guess is, in true fashion, price will depend on demand, I would think. I am substituting for Mr. Stegall this morning. My name is Eric Allared. For those of you who may not know me, I did just come off of a very long week in Salado, Texas. The company I work for, my whole family works for, was involved in one of those extreme makeover home editions on ABC. And if anyone ever asks you to participate, you should run the other way as quickly as you possibly can. We had beautiful weather, no injuries. God really blessed us. The young couple that received the house was very, very deserving. He was one of the soldiers that was injured in the Fort Hood shootings last November. And anyway, he's made a huge comeback and his ability to walk a little bit, regain the sight of it. But anyway, it was a great and moving experience, and we were happy to be part of it. Should air. They won't tell us for sure if it's going to be the Valentine's Day show, but since the couple did get married before the, we preferred a more traditional living arrangement in our little conservative company. And so they did get married the morning of the reveal. And so we're thinking that that's going to tie in and maybe make it the Valentine's Day show. They'll neither confirm nor deny that at this point in time. But in 2 weeks, we'll find out. So appreciate your prayers for those of us that were out there. And we are happy that nobody got hurt and it got done, and we're happy to be out of Salado, Texas. It's a beautiful area. Wonderful food. My FEMA trailer was very nice for the 19 hours that I stayed in it that week. Anyway, it was good. Yes, and I couldn't think of a better community to put those people in. We are going to get into Romans. We're still in the eternal study of Romans. In this class, we're going to get into Romans chapter 4 today. I do want to make another emphasis on what an impact this study had on me when I sat in it in Ken's house with my wife and a couple of other young couples, and how it changed, not necessarily any deep truths or anything like that, but it did have an impact on how I viewed trying to do enough stuff right to get into heaven. And what you find out, if you let Ken beat your brains in long enough, is that you actually can't do enough stuff right to get you into heaven. And so that is it's kind of agonizing and depressing, but then as you study on, it's actually an amazing relief that it's not contingent on your performance. Because if it were, that would be a depressing situation. He ended up in the latter part of chapter 3. He went into his, very briefly, the four views of the cross that he did a sermon series on, those big words. He called them words, 18-wheeler words of justification, propitiation, forbearance, and redemption, those things. And we're not going to dwell on that very much, but what I do want to do is I want to read the end of chapter 3, so that it will help us segue into chapter 4. And we're going to drive a peg, as Ken says, in one of these verses that is vitally important, not only to the book of Romans, but really to our Christian lives. Starting in verse 27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, by law of faith. Verse 28, And this is where we're going to drive a peg, because this is Paul speaking on behalf of all of us, because he says, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, the Gentiles also. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one." In other words, it's the same God. Now, this is news if you're a, it shouldn't be news, but if you were raised in the Jewish faith all of your life, and they didn't have a warm place in their hearts and their upbringing for the uncircumcised, did they? And in fact, they were told not to associate in any manner with the uncircumcised. Don't eat at the same table as the uncircumcised. And now Paul is telling them, the same God that's going to save you by faith saves the uncircumcised by faith also. So that could be, it could, if it's a paradigm shift for some of these people, it's a paradigm shift for us sometimes as well. 31, do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. And the last time I substituted for Ken, we talked about that pedagogos, the schoolmaster, the tutor, that the purpose of the law, which was to reveal sin, to make us know how sinful sin really is. Okay, it beats you to an understanding that you can't do it on your own. That's the purpose of law. There's nothing wrong with law, right? What's the only problem with law? Yeah, we can't keep it. That's the problem with law. Law's fine. It's humans. And that's true. Law cannot save us. They can only condemn you. So that's how we're saved today. How were people saved in the Old Testament? We talked about it last week with Ken, if you were here. The very same way, right? By grace, through faith, apart from works of law. Paul knew through the Holy Spirit that there were humans in this time, and there are humans today, especially Jewish converts, that would have a particularly difficult time wrapping our minds around that concept. Because it wasn't, at least I didn't understand it that way when I was growing up necessarily. That, you know, you had the old law, you had the new law, and they were saved one way, and we're saved this way. And and there's some truth to the differences, and there's vast differences. But the principle is what is maintained through time. And that is, people under the old law could keep law about as effectively as we can keep law today, right? Which is not very effectively. They couldn't. So, Paul is going to start with chapter 4. He's going to spend all of chapter 4. And he is going to pull out what I refer to as the ace of spades, okay? He's not gonna talk about, you know, some random person that Jewish or Gentiles may never heard of. He's going to talk about the patriarch. All right, he's going to go straight for the heart and talk about Abraham. Because if there was anybody that the Jewish people held in fairly high regard, might that have been Father Abraham? Yeah, I imagine so. Did they consider Abraham a pretty righteous gentleman? I reckon they probably did. And they probably weren't real keen on people talking about Abraham in anything other than a perfect light. Now, how could Paul possibly have the authority to talk about Abraham or Hebrew culture in general? And he was very Hebrew. That's a good comment. He was very Hebrew. In fact, he gives us not only his pedigree in more than one place, but his resume. And Marty Miller does a great job of doing this, but he doesn't have a mic, so I'm going to do it. We're going to turn, if you can, real quick to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 4 through 6 real quick. And I had people read out loud last time. The problem with that is they're recording these things, and then there's this lull of like 4 minutes of nothing happening. And if you're like me listening, your mind wanders, and it's not a good situation. So I'll read them. So how could Paul possibly have the authority to talk about Father Abraham or Hebrew culture? Let's read Philippians 3, 4 through 6. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. This is Paul talking. Circumcised the eighth day, nation of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. A pretty solid resume. Pretty solid resume. Was Paul effective at what he did in the execution of the Sanhedrin? Paul was very effective at what he did. Was he zealous? Oh, yeah. He was very zealous. Acts 22, verse 3. He's defending himself, but he's reading another resume. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Educated under Gamaliel. Some versions say taught at the feet of Gamaliel. Strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God just as you are all today. He's talking to, of course, he's addressing the Jewish elders. So, did Paul or did Paul not have the authority to talk about Abraham and the Hebrew culture? Yeah. He probably knew it as well as or better than anybody he's writing to in this particular book, in the letter to the Romans. Now, we've established he's got the authority to do this. They thought of Abraham as righteous, and in chapter 4, Paul's going to reveal to us through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit through Paul, rather, that Abraham was justified exactly the same way we are today, which is by grace, through faith, apart from works of law. Did the Jewish people hold their law very closely? Or were they kind of flippant about it? When they needed it. Ooh, well said. We don't do that today, though, thankfully. We are past all that. Tyrone said when they needed it. Yeah, they knew the law when they needed it, for sure. And they held it in high regard when it was spoken about, particularly in public, you know, when it was noble. So, I want to outline the chapter for it. If you've got space in your margins, I recommend it. Help me. It may help you. It may not. But we'll outline the chapter 4 in this way. Verses 1 through 8 is, you can write, by faith, not works. By faith, not works. And these are the illustrations of righteousness, specifically according to Abraham. Verses 9 through 12, you can jot down independent of circumcision. Did the Jews take circumcision seriously? Oh, yeah. And then verses 13 through 22, you can write independent of Moses' law. Independent of Moses' law. And then verses 23 through 25, you can write application today. I don't know that we'll get through all of that, but we're going to tackle as much of it as we can. The last one was verses 23 through 25, and that is application today. So we got 1 through 8, by faith not works, 9 through 12, independent of circumcision, 13 through 22, independent of Moses' law, 23 through 25, application today. All right, let's start reading chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Stop there. Turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. And the timeline is very important, by the way, for the point that Paul's going to make. Genesis chapter 15. And I'm going to add some emphasis, especially when it's, because it talks about he and him, he and him, he and him about 17 times. And the sometimes it's God, sometimes it's Abram in this case. So Genesis chapter 15, 5 and 6. And he, God, took Abram outside and said, now look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he, which is Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, God, reckoned it to him, Abram, as righteousness. Did you catch that? Some versions say, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Was everybody here last week and heard Ken's allegory about the store owner and the credit and how that works? Is everyone here familiar with how credit works? Okay. Today's terms, a credit card is probably a more resonating example, but the point is, when you buy something on a credit card, you didn't buy anything, all right? It's a promise to pay. It's an IOU, right? And so, but I could go to the grocery store, and I can hand them a credit card, buy all these groceries. I can probably, given my stature, even consume all of those groceries and enjoy all the benefits of them before I ever pay for them. Is that true or false? Right. The same point is how the righteousness was dealt with in the Old Testament. Okay? God was taking these people into heaven, like Moses and Abraham and dozens of other people that were going into heaven. And what was the devil doing the whole time? Jumping up and down, screaming, saying, they're not righteous. And I can prove they're not righteous. And so if you're taking them to heaven, you can't be righteous, God. Now, did the devil have a point? A little bit. He sure did. Could he prove that Moses wasn't righteous? Yeah. Could he prove that Abraham wasn't righteous? Probably so. Yes, ma'am. True. That's right. God could see the whole plan, he could not. And that's when he finally, a perfect sacrifice was made, because it says the wages of sin is death, right? So we know that every single sin has to be paid for by some sort of death. And that's when Jesus hung on the cross, died on the cross, God looked at Satan and said, am I righteous? And that was it. Now, Romans 4, verse 2. Why would Abraham not be able to boast about being justified by works of law? Why would that be not? I would think that would be something to boast about. If you really did keep the whole law, let's say hypothetically Abraham did it, that he didn't mess up one single time, just like the curse associated with it, let's say he fulfilled the terms and conditions, he didn't make one mistake the whole time, why would he not have something to boast about before God? He also, that's true, he also would have simply been doing his part, right? He would have simply been doing what the deal was. The deal is, if you want to live under law, you can do that, and you can be justified by law. The only caveat is, you got to do every single item perfect the whole time, your entire life, and never mess up one time. So if someone did that, we would say, wow, that's really impressive. But what it says here is he would have something to boast about to you and me, but not before God, because he's just upholding his side of the bargain. There's nothing to boast about that. That's like me going out and building a house for somebody and agreeing to a price. They sign the plans and the building specifications. I go out and build the house. They pay me the exact price, and I go and boast about what a wonderful job I did. I didn't do anything great. I did exactly what they told me to do and what they paid me to do. There's nothing to boast about in that situation. You simply did what was asked of you. All right? Does that make sense? That's why Abraham wouldn't have anything to boast about before God. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Just passing. Yep. He just did what the minimum that needed to be done to do that. Yes, sir. No, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's right. That would be ridiculous, right? All right. So verse 3. For what does the scripture say? We just read it. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. What's the it? Faith. That's exactly right. Was it all the good stuff he had done? All God told him to go out and do is go up and look at the stars and count them. That's how many descendants you're going to have. What did Abraham do to earn that? What did he? Did he keep a certain amount of laws? Did he rack out 25 push-ups? Did he do anything? He believed God could do it. And that was credited to him as righteousness. Nothing Abraham did, not Abraham's righteousness, God's righteousness. God credited that righteousness to Abraham for believing, for having faith. Verse 4. Now, well, we'll get there in a second. Verse 3, it says that it is faith. Okay, we got that. How does God impute his righteousness to us? That's right. Through his word. We got to study his word, and we have to do what it, we have to obey it. We have to do what it says. What makes you want to obey it? Faith, right? By grace, through faith, apart from works of law. Now, we're not going to get into... Ken's already defined what faith is. We can go to James 2 and define it if we want to define it. Okay, we all agree what faith is. All right, faith without works is dead. But works, you can't have a double standard. You can't have it both ways. Either you are under grace or you're under law. It's not, there's not a hybrid system that you can do. And Ken makes the example all the time of, well, God can do this much. You know, I can do about 20% of my righteousness. I need God's grace to handle the rest of it. But I don't need him, for example, I don't need him handling my money for me. I can handle that part. I just need him to do everything else for me. I don't need him messing with my job. I got my job under control. I'm really good at what I do. He can help somebody else more do that. I got this. Okay? You can't do any of it. I can't do any of it. If any part of it can be earned, Christ died for nothing. If you don't believe that, turn to Galatians. That's exactly what it'll tell you. It said if righteousness could come from law, then surely righteousness would have come by law. And if you could earn any part of your righteousness, Christ died needlessly. It cheapens it if you can earn any part of it. Now, it's very important that we note that it's God's righteousness that we receive. Right? Because if Abraham, let's say, or we kept the law, just like the terms and conditions call for, perfectly all the time, then that would be our own righteousness, right? That would be us doing it, us getting it done. Then we would have self-righteousness. And sometimes that enters into our lives and our churches, self-righteousness. Remember the Pharisee praying? The tax collector praying? The Pharisee said, God, thank you for not making me like this guy, the tax collector. Is that a little bit self-righteous? Just a little. Just a little bit. So you got to be careful about comparing yourself or contrasting ourselves with other people and how they're doing in their law keeping. And we're real good about that as humans, you know, being able to keep score and keep track of who's done what and how many times they did it and how long they stayed and what time they showed up and if they helped us or not. Right? That's self-righteousness. And it'll destroy a church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. You're exactly right, Flo. Thank you. But yeah, he does. There's nothing wrong with enjoying success, right? There's nothing wrong with being successful. God tells us if you're going to do it, you do it with all your might. And you work like you're working for the Lord. But remember who put you where you are and who's in control of where you're going. All right, verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. All right, so if you're working and you're getting paid, it's not a credit to you, right? You're getting what you owe. Go back to my little example. Okay, I build a house for Mr. and Ms. Jones. Contract price is $150,000. We get all the way done, and they love the home, and they say, Eric, we are so impressed with this house, we want to give you a gift of $150,000. Gift? It's not a gift. That's wages. That's what's due. That's what you owe me for performing a service. That's not a gift. So we go back to our example. If you can earn any part of it, it's not a gift anymore. It's not the gift of the Holy Spirit if you can earn it. Does that make sense? So we need to quit trying to earn it because you can't earn it. You have to obey, and you need to be in a right relationship with the Lord, but you can't earn it. You cannot earn it. And other people can't earn it either, so we need to quit trying to make them earn it and setting up a checklist of things that we think they have to do to earn it. It's a gift. It takes the same, you know, it's going to take the same thing for Osama bin Laden to get into heaven as it takes for me to get into heaven. The exact same thing. And he doesn't have to do any more than I have to do. And he doesn't have to do any less than I have to do. It's the same deal. Yes, sir. For the recording, Tyrone's saying that Paul referred to, I mean, he's referring to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where he says, you know, it's a trustworthy, the sinners of which I am chief, or I am foremost of all, depending on your interpretation. In other words, if Paul, who was murdering Christians, women and children, can do what it takes to get into heaven and can live under Christ and be in Christ, he's saying that anybody can do it. And it's available to anybody. Everybody's not going to do it. We're told that in Matthew. Narrow is the gate, right? Few there be that find it. But it's available to everyone. So we got gifts versus wages. We understand the difference between gifts and wages, right? Verse 4. Any other questions or comments? All right, now we're still talking about about Abraham and his righteousness is by faith, not works. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. To the one that doesn't work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, to him it's credited as righteousness. Exact example that we read in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Walked outside, count the stars, that's what your descendants are going to be. Abraham believed him, it was credited to him as righteousness. By faith, apart from works of law. Outside of anything Abraham had done for God. He simply believed and had faith. And obeyed. All right, verse 6. Just as David also speaks of the blessings on the man who God credits righteousness apart from works. And then he starts quoting David in Psalms. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, I'll say, and whose sins have been covered. Verse 8, this will blow your mind. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Will not take into account? That's a deep thought, isn't it? Future sin? It does say never. Never take into account. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Anybody remember that? Washes us continuously. I'm not going to steal Ken's thunder on that because he does a really, really good job of putting that in perspective. But that's something that it took a long time and still taking a long time for me to wrap my head around. That God has the power to forgive sin that hasn't happened yet. That's a great point. She said that we're harder on ourselves than he is. And I think that that's true. I think we are very hard on ourselves. We're harder on other people, but we're hard on ourselves too. Yes, sir. Remember. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we keep score. You got to keep score. If you don't keep score, something's going to happen unfair. Okay, good. Yeah, because you're going to sin, exactly. All right, so verses 1 through 8, do we agree that Abraham was made righteous or was given God's righteousness by faith, not by works of law? Does that make sense? Paul make that pretty clear? All right, let's start verse 9. I'll ask again, was circumcision very important to the Jewish culture? Yeah. Did Paul have to write like entire letters to churches about whether the Christians had to be circumcised once they became Christians? Yeah, he did. So it was a problem. Was Abraham circumcised? Yeah, this is yes, this is no. Was Abraham circumcised? Yes, eventually. Let's read a little bit. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. His point is, Abraham was circumcised and he had righteousness. Now, what we're trying to figure out is, was he made righteous because he was circumcised? That's the point we're trying to make. Because there were people that believed that's why he was righteous. Verse 10, how then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? When was Abraham circumcised? Where's Elton Stubblefield? Genesis chapter 17. I'll give you a hint. It's in the margin of your Bible too, just like it is in mine. You don't have to be smart anymore. Genesis chapter 17. When was his faith credited to him as righteousness? We just read it. Genesis chapter 15. I'm an Aggie. Which comes first, 15 or 17? Okay. 16. Thank you, Aggie. Another Aggie. All right. And then Paul says, not while he was circumcised, while he was uncircumcised. Now, was that news to a Jewish person? Shouldn't be, but was that news to a Jewish person? Sometimes. Probably so. Yeah. Was that news to any of us? Maybe. He was made righteous before he was imputed. God imputed his righteousness upon Abram before he was ever circumcised. So, was he made righteous by circumcision? Apparently not. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, the sign of circumcision, which was a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe, without being circumcised, that righteousness may be credited to them. That would be us. We're the them. We're the ones who need God's righteousness credited to us. To the Jew first, also to the Greek, right? We have access to God's righteousness. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision and those who not only are of circumcision, but who also follow the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. I'm going to turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're not going to read the whole thing I wanted to read because we just don't have time. And you'll never get through Romans if we don't do that. But let's hit verse 8, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Did God say that to Abraham? He sure did. He didn't say, only the nation of Israel be blessed in you. He said, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham. Father Abraham was sort of the father of faith, so to speak. Okay. He showed for all nations that you could receive God's righteousness through faith and acting on that faith. Obeying. Not just the nation of Israel, all nations, all people, for all time, have access to God's righteousness. But they don't know if we don't tell them. All right, so we got through 12. So we have confirmed that Abraham's righteousness that he got from God was by faith, not works, that it was independent of circumcision. Let's get through 13. We'll get through a few verses, not the whole thing we're talking about with respect to the law. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. Here's an easier chronological order. Was Abraham made righteous by following the law of Moses? That would be physically impossible, right? Why? Moses came way after Abraham, right? Now, we're talking it tongue-in-cheek, but I promise you there's people out there, and there were probably people in Paul's time that said, Abraham, he kept the law, he was a man of the law. No, he wasn't. Abraham was in Genesis, the law was in Exodus. There's a whole book away, not just a couple chapters to get mixed up. Abraham did not receive his righteousness because of his ability to keep the law of Moses. How was Abraham made righteous? By faith. By grace through faith. God gave it to him. He gave him his righteousness because he had faith. We're going to end on this thought. I'll throw a hand grenade in and let him handle it next week. Verse 15, for the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. Let that sink in for a minute. Where there is no law, there is no violation. Go back to verse 8. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. You can live under grace or you can live under law. That means if you're not under grace, if you're under grace, you're not under law. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Which means where there is grace, there is no law, hence no violations. Yeah. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. By a law of faith. I want to be under grace. I don't want to be under law. Now, does it mean you can do whatever you want to? No. Chapter 6 will deal with that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. It's not how it works. We're not there yet. If the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is also no violation. So Abraham's faith was, Abraham's righteousness was through faith, apart from works of law. It was not by circumcision. It was not because he kept the law of Moses. Those are the major points. Now, why would, again, we talked about before, why would Paul choose Abraham to talk about of all people? Father of the nation of Israel, right? Pretty powerful example. Everybody's going to be able to connect with that example. Did. And we, yeah, he did. He took his family and moved far away. And we oftentimes, and I'm glad you made that point, because we have the tendency to take that faith that Abraham had and put it on this pedestal and say, if only I could have that kind of faith. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is, did you know that that's the exact same kind of faith that we're called to have? The kind of faith where you'll march up the side of a mountain with your son, your only son, and be willing to lay him up there and sacrifice him because God told you to? That kind of faith? That you would uproot your whole family and move to a foreign country because God told you to? Yeah, that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith. Yes, sir. How far is the end of the chapter? Yeah, Genesis chapter 14. Yeah, I'll read that. It's Genesis chapter 14, verse 21. Then the king of Sodom said to Abram, give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal, thong, or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eskel, and Mamre, let them take their share. That's right. The point is, look at the high character that Abraham had, yet he didn't earn his own righteousness. We can't earn ours either. Thanks for your time. Ken will be back, Lord willing, not next week, right? There's no Bible class next week, so week after.